How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? Wow, that's a lot of people. Okay, did that little clip do it justice? No. You didn't even have to think about it, did you? Niagara Falls is a true wonder of the world. It's hard to imagine or reproduce or give you a little taste, which we tried to there in a few seconds. It's hard to imagine that sound of 4 million cubic feet of water rushing over the side, crashing 180 feet to the rocks below every minute. What a sound that is. In the book of Revelation, John, the author, reaches for something earthly, something in his experience that he could compare to give you an idea, to give us an idea of something that he saw in this vision of heaven. Actually, it's what he heard more than what he saw that stretched the limits of his descriptive abilities. What do you think he heard in heaven comparable to the sound of the greatest waterfall or thunder? Not just that distant, you know, was that thunder? No. That crashing, earth-shattering, ear-splitting crack of thunder on and on and on. What was it that he was comparing that to? The title of today's message is Wedding Party of the Lamb. This is the fourth and the final. Sadly, the final. I've enjoyed the whole party theme. Have you enjoyed the party theme? It's been good, I think. Good for me, anyway. So this is the fourth and final of that series. And we've considered the last 3 weeks, three parties that Jesus actually went to and what we learned from that today. And that Jesus is the life of the party. And if we follow him, we're party people. I mean, we should be good with parties and be invited to parties and enjoy parties and throw parties and so forth. So today we consider one more party. This is a future party that Jesus tells John about, gives him this picture of, this vision of in the book of Revelation. It's a party, it's a wedding reception kind of party, and it's a wedding party that is like you've never experienced beyond anything. So here's the text. It's Revelation 16, verses 6 through 9. And I want the kids, now stay with me. I want you to listen in the text. I want you to identify what John, the author, is comparing to the roar of rushing water like Niagara Falls or thunder. What's he comparing to? Okay, listen carefully, because I'm going to ask you for the answer. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come. And his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints." Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." Okay, you got to be 12 or under to answer this question, okay? So control yourself if you're 45. So what is he comparing a waterfall, big waterfall, that sound that filled the room? And if you were there on that little boat that puts up, you know, near the falls, it must just fill everything. You probably can't even carry on a conversation. What's he comparing that to? What's he say that's like? I need somebody 12 or under to answer that question, or I have to read the whole thing again. Were you with me? Okay, I'm reading the whole thing again. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude. That's a huge crowd. Like the roar of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah!" So what's he comparing the waterfall to? I'm throwing the light. Okay, what is it? A great multitude doing what? Shouting hallelujah. He's comparing it to the worship of heaven. To all these people singing out at the top of their lungs, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. John, you see, is doing his best to describe the greatest party of all time. A party that is yet to come, but will come and will celebrate the final coming together, the union, the wedding is the a picture of Christ the Lamb. The Lamb is Christ Jesus and His bride. Who's the bride? The church. We are. We're the bride. That's right. And so in describing this party, it seems like he touches on five elements of the wedding party. When you go to a party, what are you looking for? What's going to happen there? What's going to be great about a party? What are those elements? Well, let's look at five. One, music. Of course, there's music. A good party always has great music. What's a party without music? One of the best concert experiences of my life happened at a U2 concert in Dallas at the Cowboy Stadium. The thing was packed out with U2 fans like me and my wife. Less so my wife. And my daughter, the one daughter with really good taste in music, who likes U2. So we're there. It was an awesome concert. And then at the end of the concert, Bono steps out and he begins singing Amazing Grace like I have never heard it sung before. His own kind of rendition. And soon, without any prompting, the whole audience, the whole crowd, thousands and thousands, join with Bono in singing that great hymn, Amazing Grace. And it just fills the stadium with sound, and suddenly a rock concert become a worship service, and it was so deeply moving. Yet the wedding party of the Lamb that will feature the best worship band ever, leading the biggest choir ever, and will be in it, will far surpass that experience. We'll know every song, and we'll sing like never before. And if you're a little shy to sing, you know, I mean, there's a sense in which church is a little weird compared to the rest of culture. Where else do you go, and everybody gets together, and we all sing? Well, I can't think of another place that happens with any kind of regularity. Maybe you can. Is it kind of weird? No, it's great. It's special. It's wonderful. And so if you're a little shy about that, and you think, my voice kind of sucks, so I'm not going to sing too. In heaven, your voice will be just wonderful. And we'll all let go, and we'll all sing, and every song will glorify the Lamb of God. The sound of all the saints singing hallelujah at once. The communion of saints, as it's called. The saints past, the saints present, the saints that are yet to come in the future, all together will compose the loudest sound known to the author. The sound of rushing waters. That's because that was the loudest thing he could think of. The sound fills the atmosphere. Nothing will be more beautiful and inspiring and awesome. So I was thinking about this. Maybe our weekly worship services, what we do here on Sunday, is simply rehearsal for the main event yet to come. Now, I never was in a choir, but I was in band in middle school. And I played a trumpet, and it's still up in my closet, actually. It hasn't been touched in like 50 years. So I play, and one thing you do in bands is you have rehearsal. And there's a couple of different ways you do rehearsal with the band, and I suspect if you're in a choir, it's the same thing. So you have all together rehearsal, but before that, you break into your sections. You know, like you get the horns together, you get the strings together, you get the woodwinds together. In a band, don't have strings, but anyway. They rehearse separately, right? And that's the way it is? Who's in band can give me a nod if that's the way it happens. That's what happens, right? You have to do that separate thing. Or if you're in a choir, you'd have the different sections of the choir, the sopranos, the altos, tenors and all. They separate out, learn their parts, and then it all comes together. Think of church as rehearsal every week. Don't miss it. It's really important rehearsal. Someday, all the pieces, every church that has ever existed throughout all eternity will gather and sing, and it'll be better than anything you could ever imagine. A great part of any party is got to be the music. And this music in the party to come will surpass it all. Second, when you go to a party, especially a wedding that is followed by a reception, which is a big party, you want new clothes, right? You get new clothes. Everybody likes that. All the guys in the wedding will be wearing a tux. And I know some guys act like, you know, it's a pain. They don't really want to wear a tux. But deep down, they love it. They really, because you just feel so cool, so important, so perfect. And all the women, they get dresses. You know, if you're in the wedding party, you get a dress. If you're the bride, you get the best dress, and so forth. Well, John tells us, fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her, the church, to wear. And that fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. So he's using some symbolism here. But first, fine linen, you need to know, was like the best cloth available in the ancient world. In fact, it was cloth woven so finely that it cannot be distinguished from silk without the aid of magnification. So it's the best of the best. Now, John says the bride made herself ready. The bride is the church, remember? So we are a part, we have a part to play in getting ready for this enormous party yet to come. Through repentance and faith and righteous deeds, which are the fruit of faith, that's our part. And yet he also says that it was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, so that the holiness is a gift of God. It's the holy life of the Redeemer in the redeemed. So there's this great sense of being clothed when we get to that great party. The physical, though, is preceded by the spiritual. There is a spiritual sense in which we are clothed. Paul talks about that in Galatians when he says, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." What does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean that we wear clothes that look like the clothes we think Jesus wore. You know, we don't wear tunics and robes and sandals and stuff. It's like, I'm clothed with Jesus. No, it doesn't mean that. It's a figurative thing. When it says you are clothed with Christ, it means that you're beginning to look like Christ on the inside. It means His holiness, His righteousness before God is given to us. And we begin to look like that. So he's talking about what's happening on the inside as Christ resides in us. So, the party. Great music. I mean, that's essential, right? Great party. That's what concerts are. They're big parties that just features the music. And then second, new clothes. It's good to have new clothes at the party. We'll all have the best clothes. Number three. What's a party without food? I mean, you got to have food, really, really good food at a party. What's a party without great food and plenty of it? Problem is, we don't really see food mentioned here in this text in Revelation. But there is a parallel text talking about the same event in Isaiah that is describing this party. Isaiah 25, verse 6, it says, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines." So it's talking about the food there. Today we're doing communion. We're doing the Lord's Supper. We have the tables set, as you can see. Kind of party style, kind of wedding party style for our text today. But there won't be the choicest meat. It won't be the best wine. We get a little taste. It's like, does your mom ever bake cookies? I mean, homemade cookies. Or maybe your grandmother. Maybe mom's like, I mean, surely, right? I'm talking to kids. So when your mom's baking cookies, the first thing she does is she mixes up this batter. And what do you want to do? What do you have to do? What? You got to dip a finger in that batter, right? Mom, can I lick the, what do you call them, the spatula or the beaters or whatever. I just want a little taste. And so you put your finger in, you get a little taste of that batter, and what do? Oh, that's good. But is it as good as the cookies that are going to come hot out of that oven? No, Not even close. Not close. If you think it is, you got a problem talking about it. No. But here's the deal. The little dip of batter gives you a taste and makes you look forward to what's coming out of the oven a little bit later, right? When you come to this table today, and you take that little cup, and you take that little piece of bread that symbolizes the body and the blood of Christ, it's like dipping your finger in the batter. It's a small taste that makes you look forward to what is to come, which is the wedding feast of the Lamb. And we're invited. So, remember that today when you come to the table. It's a small taste of what's going to be awesome that's yet to come. Fourth, so you got, let's review. You've got great music. Best music is an important part of a party. You've got clothes, new clothes. You've got great food, best food. Four, joy. I mean, just plain joy at a party. Happiness. It's fun. John says, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. Well, why? What are we so happy about? What are we so excited about? Well, let's go back to that Isaiah parallel passage. It says in Isaiah 25, picking up with verse 7, on this mountain, He'll destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of His people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. God's going to do this great thing that's going to fill us all with joy. Wait, He already has. What's the source of joy at the party? Why are we joyful, exceedingly glad? Why are we people who sing and give glory to Christ our Lord? It's for what He has already done. He has established His kingdom in our hearts. The gospel's not good advice on how you can be a better person so God might like you more. That's not the gospel. The gospel is news of what God has already done. He has sent Christ who went to the cross, and through the cross, our sins are forgiven. Through the cross and the gift of the Spirit, He begins to change our lives now. There's a change happening in us now. Is it complete? No, it's got quite a ways to go. But it's already happening. And we praise Him. We're filled with joy for His victory over death. He's going to swallow up death once and for all. That's already happened. He went to the cross, and then He rose again. That means our peace and our joy in Christ prevails over any grief that comes. That doesn't mean we never grieve. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we bury people we dearly love. Sometimes we're disappointed in life. But the disappointment doesn't win. Joy prevails if you know Christ and walk with Him. Our fear of death is diminished as faith produces courage. Are we still nervous about death? Yeah, probably so. Probably so. But it's diminished. It doesn't rule. Faith produces that courage that God is with us. And His resurrection is our resurrection too. We have joy for the future promise, the sure promise of His return. And at His return, when the wedding begins in earnest, then we will be with Him and we will share in His divine love and fellowship forever and ever. I love this little quote by Martin Luther. He said, you have as much laughter as you have faith. You have as much laughter as you have faith. An authentic faith in the living Christ produces a joy that cannot be taken away, that cannot be quenched. All right, one more thing about a party. Anytime you go to a party, and we're thinking here, the example here, the illustration in Revelation, is a wedding party. Well, at every wedding, who's there? Who are the essential elements of a wedding? The bride and the groom got to be there, right? They're the guests of honor. Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. We get to be in the presence of the guest of honor. Now, I did a couple of weddings this past fall. They were beautiful weddings. And at the end of the wedding, when I pronounce the man and wife, kiss the bride, here they are, then we all go to the party, which is the really fun part. And then you take off the tie, you relax a little bit. And there's only two people everybody really wants to see and wants to talk to. That's the bride and the groom. That's who you want to talk to. You want to go up and you want to congratulate them. You want to let them know that it was a great wedding and you wish them the best. And you want FaceTime with the groom. FaceTime with the bride. I mean, you want to talk to everybody else, sure, but those are the main ones. At the wedding of the Lamb, there will be FaceTime for every single guest as the Lord will make that happen. You get to see Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, face to face. All of us do. How's that happen? That seems impossible. Well, that's why we call him God. He knows how to do those things. You know, part of the fun, at least for me, of an exciting vacation or big event is the anticipation. This past summer, I took my wife, Sandy, and I took two of our grandsons to Kentucky and went to Cincinnati and saw a baseball game. We went to the PGA Championship. If you're a golfer, you know how cool that is, except when it rains all day. But anyway, it was pretty fun. That was a trip I planned over a year in advance. I bought the tickets to the golf tournament a year before the tournament. I had planned that far in advance, and I was looking forward to it, waiting for it to happen. That doesn't make me anxious. Oh, I wish it would get here. No, no. It does just the opposite in me. It makes me smile to know that even when I'm going about my daily life, my daily work, I've got this trip coming, and it's going to be great. I'm going to be with my grandsons, and I love my grandsons. I'm going to be with my wife. I love my wife. And we're going to have so much fun together. It makes me smile. I look forward to it. The great wedding feast of the Lamb that is yet to come, that seems so far off, that may not be as far as we think, but it seems like it. It should give us great comfort and hope and encouragement in our daily lives following Christ and serving the Lord today. To follow Christ, to be a believer, is to be on the invitation list. And you want to be on that invitation list to the eternal wedding party that will surpass by miles and miles any party you've ever experienced in this life. How do you get on that list? How do you get the invitation? It's quite simple. Jesus simply says, repent and believe. Turn away from your sins. Turn away even from the good things you do that you trust is going to get you into the party, because it won't. And put your faith in Him. Follow Him. And you're on the list. That's all you have to do. We're going to come to the tables in just a couple of moments. And we've got the balloons and we've got the wedding kind of stuff. And that's kind of cool. And didn't they do a great job of decorating that? I love it. Because when you come to that table, there's a number of things that go through your mind. You remember what Christ has done. That's the gospel, the good news. He died for me. He died for you. He rose again, giving us the hope of eternal life. And so you are thankful, grateful for that gift. We also think of it in the present tense of Christ with us today, His Spirit residing within us. And today, especially today, when we come to the table, we're thinking of the future. We're thinking of dipping our finger in the batter and going, oh, I can't wait till the cookies come out. They're going to be so good. We're getting a small taste of what is yet to come when we see the Lord God Almighty in person with our eyes. Matthew 26, verse 26 through 30. While they were eating, Jesus took the bread, He gave thanks, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Then He took the cup and He gave thanks and He offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let's pray. And then when you're ready, you come to the table. We're going to have our elders come and take their places. And then you come, just whenever you're ready. This is a time to just meditate, to be quiet, to be thankful. And then as there's room, you come. We have four stations where you go. It's like a self-serve sort of deal. You go and partake of the bread and the cup, and then go to one of our elders so that they can pray for you and bless you. Lord God Almighty, we give thanks for the wedding feast that's yet to come. It's good to dip our finger in the batter and look forward to the cookies coming out of the oven. It's way, way better to come to your table, partake of the bread and the cup, and to look forward to that face-to-face feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. It's incredible that we're invited. You want us to be there with you. And you made the way for that to happen. I pray joy will prevail in our hearts and souls as we give thanks for the forgiveness we have and the joy of seeking you, knowing you, and living with you forever. In Christ's name, amen. You come to the table when you're ready. Well, I really love Communion Sundays. It's one of my favorite times. I like the kids all being with us the whole time. I like going to the tables. I like giving the blessings. I like the whole thing. But you still have homework, in case you're wondering. So I've got homework for kids, and then I've got homework for everybody else. All right, you ready, kids? You can do this. It's a big task, but you can handle it. All right, every kid's got homework. Instead of throwing rice, which is traditional at American weddings, in the foyer, we have small little bottles of bubbles. Every kid is to get a little jar of bubbles and then head out to the courtyard, not in the foyer, in the courtyard. And I want you to open those bubbles, and I want all the kids to blow those bubbles in celebration of the wedding of the Lamb. Okay? It's an act of worship. You would have never thought you could worship God by blowing bubbles. Well, you can. So, you got that? All the kids, get your bubbles in the foyer, go into the courtyard outside, and fill the air with bubbles. Okay? And everyone else, remember, we're throwing parties. Have a party. Host a party. Invite your neighbors. And just celebrate. Just create some fellowship. You don't have to win anybody. You don't have to convince anybody. You don't have to sell anything. Just invite some neighbors into your home. Have dinner together. Get to know each other better. Celebrate just being alive. And if it leads to more later, that's great. Okay? There you go. May the Lord God bless you. May He fill you with His grace, mercy, and love, and a joy this world can never quench. Amen.